Hello, welcome to 400 Thoughts. This is your host, The Driver, and this is episode 29, You're Raising Your Kids the Wrong Way. This is kind of a continuation from episode 28, obviously, 29, 28, and that was talking about tolerance and how people would want other people to behave or respond or react to things that they like or ethics they have or their morals or their lifestyles or their culture. And if you don't, then you are not as good of a person. So this one is a kind of related to that, in that some people would want you to behave a certain way, and an extension of that is not only how you act and behave, but how your children act or behave, or how you teach your children how to act and behave, and what to believe, and what to accept, and what to reject. I will say it's not incredibly popular, but there are certain ways you can read different articles in the news about people. It's almost kind of like viewpoint advocacy, or kind of moral crusading, and this is the way they raise their children, or this person did something wrong and they happen to have this many kids. So it kind of gives the idea that this person doing this action or having this viewpoint, isn't it a shame that they also have kids that might latch onto that ideology? You could say something along the lines of, if you're more progressive leaning, if somebody that has non-progressive views has a number of children and they do something that is not in line with your beliefs, that, you know, isn't it a shame that they have so many kids? Or you could go the exact opposite way. You could say more conservative, isn't it sad that the progressives or the people on the other political end of the spectrum are raising their kids this way? One example of that would be if a more traditional religious person was to bemoan the fact that progressives would like to raise their children as gender neutral. I don't really know what that means, as far as kind of an explanation of that would be, you know, I'm not going to clothe or provide the entertainment or certain things that would be traditionally viewed as male or female to my child, in the hopes that they would not perpetuate any sort of specific gender stereotypes. I suppose that's fine, but if your daughter gravitates towards a certain type of toy, or your son or whatever gravitates towards some certain type of toy, it's not necessarily wrong. You know, I think maybe it would make more sense if you were trying to make a statement as saying that you would want to raise your child in the opposite gender role, almost, in order to counteract anything. So for example, if you have a daughter and you want to make them more gender neutral, you would maybe raise them as a boy, or not necessarily as a boy, but provide them with more things that are considered traditionally masculine in order to counteract any potential things that might make them gravitate towards feminine things, traditionally viewed feminine things. But I don't know if that really works. I mean, for example, I got three kids. I got two boys and I got a daughter. And they have a lot of hand-me-down toys, and they enjoy a large variety of differences between the toys. For example, if they're playing with dinosaurs, then the boys love playing with their dinosaur toys. The dinosaurs are always trying to kill each other, eat each other, you know, go to war with each other, and that's fine. I didn't tell them to do that. I've really never instructed the boys to play any certain way. That's just how it turned out. So could I maybe counteract that by saying that the dinosaurs should get along? I don't really care that much about the topic of how dinosaur play should be done, to, you know, be motivated to tell them that the Triceratops and the T-Rex should be pals, because I don't think they were. I think they hated each other's guts. So I don't really think me trying to tell them that they should get along better or play nicely, it would be very helpful. It'd be a little confusing. Another thing, I mean, you could look at the same thing with my daughter. She enjoys running around with a Hot Wheel in each hand. Is it because she is more interested in cars or mechanical things that are viewed as more masculine sort of interests? No, it's because they fit her hands and she can throw them or put them in her mouth. How do I know that? Because she also plays with plastic food toys that are the same size that she can palm and chew on and throw at her brothers. So I think it's just a happy coincidence that she gravitates towards things that would be traditionally masculine, that being the Hot Wheels cars. Doesn't really mean anything. Just she likes to chew on them or throw them and they fit her tiny little hands. And she also likes her dolls and she pushes everything. Now, does she push a stroller because she's being pressured by her mother and I to have a more motherly role? No, she just likes to drag things. Before we bought her a little stroller toy, she would push around a little plastic play chair. And I don't know where she got the idea to push things. She just likes to push things over, knock things over, and climb things. I don't think it really means anything. I think if anybody wants to kind of stereotype the way that a child plays, might, I mean, that you could, and I know that people have, but as a parent, I'm more interested in them not choking on hot dogs or beating the crap out of each other or letting the dog out of the house or something like that. So it's not terribly interesting. Now, this is going to be a slightly trickier episode because, as you can already probably tell, I don't have very strong opinions about how the kids, well, that's not necessarily true. I have very strong feelings about how the kids should be raised and how they should be brought up and the views that, and the moral teachings that me and the mama teach the kiddos. That's very important and we're very conscious of that. And there are certain things that we would like them to believe and to trust in and abide in, and there are things that we'd want them to avoid and not participate in and to not share those beliefs. That's very true. But toys and dress up or anything like that, that's, don't really have very strong opinions. So that would be more of, I'm not interested in some fixations that some, I guess it would be against progressive fixations on how children play or dress. It's just not something I really care about. It's not, doesn't really bother me that much. Now, what about, I've said kind of what I'm not terribly interested in, but what, have I said anything that I'm for? Not really. I haven't really explained that. I could go on to a long list of different things that, of how me and their mother were raised and different teachings we would like to bestow on them. But I think the more interesting idea that I've been contemplating in the theme of this episode is you're raising your kids wrong. So I would say it's hard enough to tell somebody that they're living the wrong life. It would be kind of an additional step to say, not only are you doing the wrong thing, but you have children and you're contaminating them with their bad ideas. And so how could you possibly persuade them to raise their kids differently? Like, that's, if somebody's telling me that I'm doing the wrong thing, if I'm living the wrong life, you know, fair enough. Give me maybe a few reasons. Give me a good narrative. Give me a good life story or a viewpoint from where you're coming from. And maybe we can discuss pros and cons. And if you have a good enough emotional argument that also stirs my emotions, I can maybe come to your side. Maybe. It's possible. And then from there, maybe I could change the way I raise my kids. So for example, it's not the case, but say somebody was able to convince me that veganism is the best way to live. I happen to not adhere to veganism, but say if somebody was able to persuade me, if I was persuaded by that, I would very much probably do the same thing for my kiddos, is just raise them as vegans. So that's an example of if somebody changed my mind about some sort of thing, not necessarily an ideology, though some people would view veganism as an ideology, but if there's something that I was doing or something that I was doing that somebody pointed out was wrong, I would change my ways and try to impact my children the same way. Or if there was something I wasn't doing and somebody persuaded me that I should do that, then I would want the same thing for my kids. So that's, you know, fair enough. That's how that would work.
What could I fill it in with? You know, what you eat, what you don't eat. If you pray to a god, if you don't pray to a god, if you do pray to a god, which one? Somebody was able to, you know, pitch a different form of spirituality to me, and I thought it was true, then I would probably raise my kids that way too. But are we able to do that? As far as I don't know how persuasive some people are when they're telling people how to live differently, but how can somebody tell somebody else that they're raising their kids the wrong way? You know, are there anything? Actually, I don't think it's possible. I really don't. I don't think there's a way for you to get to the children without going through the parents. As I mentioned in another episode, as far as it's your responsibility as the parent to be kind of the chief educator of the child, now that doesn't mean you have to be the actual teacher. You can outsource that to a professional teacher, but it's kind of your responsibility as the parent to ensure the educational needs of the child are being fulfilled. And you could do that as far as everything else. You might not be a chef, but you got to make sure they're getting fed. You might not be a priest or a moral philosopher, but you got to make sure that, you know, they are getting the metaphysical or spiritual things that they need, that they can get from people that maybe are a little bit more qualified than you. You know, give them a good book or a documentary or something to ensure that need is met as well. Whatever it takes. But I don't think it's possible for you to tell somebody else that they are kind of a bad parent, or they're doing something wrong, they're raising their kids the wrong way, without probably pissing off the parent. Now, you could provide something. I think it is possible to provide information about how a parent maybe is not doing something that is the most beneficial for their child, and by that way you are not necessarily telling them that they are doing something wrong, but you are tapping into their need to provide the best opportunity for their child to flourish by providing them an example of how to do things better for them. So for example, if you had a friend that read some sort of scientific report or some sort of news article that talked about how the specific town that you happen to live in had a very high amount of trace metals or toxins in the water, it would be very advantageous for you to buy a faucet water filter, or, you know, if you had a water pitcher in your refrigerator, to have that filtered, whatever brand you want. You're not necessarily telling them that they're bad parents. Well, I mean, additionally, the article would say, in order for this to work, you would say, the article said that the effects of drinking water that have these trace metals or toxins in them are most detrimental to developing children ages 3 to 5, something like that. And so you would say, hey, do you have a water filter? No, I don't have a water filter. Our water's fine. We just have from the tap, not a big deal. Well, I just read this article that said it's really bad. I would recommend you guys getting a filter because I read this article, and you can share the article. And if there's somebody that, you know, holds that publication to the same esteem as you, then they can go out to Amazon or Target or wherever and buy a water filter. So that is one way. You're not necessarily telling the parent they're doing something wrong, but you're saying, hey, don't you want your children to flourish and not be harmed? And then obviously the parent would say, yeah, I would prefer my child not to be harmed. Well, here's a way that you could make it easier for them to potentially not succumb to some sort of toxic whatever in the water. So I guess there's a way that you can, if you know what motivates the parent, to change the way they either provide for their children, the way they behave around their children. I mean, I've never heard of somebody that is talked to a parent that, say, spanks their child and says that's wrong and gotten them to stop, or vice versa, telling a parent that they need to spank their kids more and made that work. I haven't heard of it. Maybe out in listener land, you know of an example of somebody that has been told a certain thing, either shared an article or shared a book about how to discipline your children, and people have switched. I've never really seen that experience. The people that I've talked to, when they've explained what they do with their children, it's pretty much set in stone, and they might alter their parenting style slightly depending on age group and kid specific, because if you have multiple kids, you know
you know, I've got three kids, and between the three kids, they've got 10 personalities. Like, it's just, it's all over the place. So there's different ways you can react to different situations, time of day, you know, who did what to who, how you respond to that. But as far as overall corporal punishment, as far as if you're going to hit the kid or not, I have not heard of people really switching sides. Once they're kind of on a side, they're pretty much good there. But can you tell somebody that they're raising their kid wrong? Yes, with candor and with grace and with knowing exactly something that would be important to the parent for the child. So, for example, if I told a friend, hey, do you know that, you know, fiber is really good for, I don't know, teenagers, there's a big study that said teenagers aren't getting enough fiber. I think you need to, you know, make sure that they, your teenager gets enough. Here's a few supplements I've heard are good. I take them, or these are some foods I like that are high in fiber. I think that would benefit. If the parent doesn't give a shit about fiber for their teenager, they're probably just going to shrug. So I gave kind of two examples. One of the, hey, the water might not be good for your kid. Is this something that you think you would want to change? And in that example, the parent was like, yes, dangerous water is something that bothers me, and I would like to get a water filter. Other one, maybe not as dangerous as far as having a negative effect, but having a beneficial effect of, hey, you can make your child's life better with this supplementation because they might lack this, and by lacking this, it's going to have a negative effect on their health. So I would recommend including this in their diet or whatever, and they could have the exact opposite reaction of just screw off. I don't, you know, I eat what I eat, and I feed my kids what I eat, and I don't really have a lot of fiber, and I'm healthy and fine, and my kids are going to be healthy and fine too. So it could really go either way. It really depends on your comfortability with that person. I would say it is probably impossible for you to tell a complete stranger how to raise their kids and that, you know, go over well. But if that's something you want to try, you can go ahead and tell me how that worked out for you by sending a message to @400thoughts or an email at 400thoughts.thedriver@gmail.com. That's pretty much all I have to say about this topic. I guess it is possible that you can change the way parents raise their kids to a degree, not like completely change things around. But if you know the parent well enough and you can, if you know what motivates them to change their mind about something, then you can kind of go through the parent to affect the way the kids are. But I would say you really have to maybe know that person on a pretty good level for them to be able to take that advice and then do that to their kids. Or they could be one of those weird parents that say, I'm just going to let my kids do whatever they feel like, and they're going to basically raise themselves the way they feel comfortable. They're just going to do what they want, which is really, really dumb. I don't understand that. As far as, I'm not going to teach the kid about, you know, what could be something that could be fairly, well, okay. Very few parents in America probably have a conversation with their kids about the importance of democracy. But it would sound very strange if a parent said, you know, I'm going to just let the child choose which political system they support. They could say political party, you know, both me and the mother are proud Republicans, or me and the mother are proud Democrats, or whatever. You could say that, and you could say, now they know that we are of that party affiliation, but when we do not talk about it in front of them, and we do not pressure them to join any political party, we don't openly campaign or talk about who we want to win. And so in that way, we're allowing them to grow in their own political leanings and whatnot. Yeah, maybe that will work, but I mean, like, for example, I have no idea who my folks vote for each election, but I'm fairly confident they, on a number of occasions, have voted for different candidates, kind of canceling out their votes. But that's going to be the theme of the next episode, is the 2020 election. But I don't know, as far as if the black box, not the black box, the blank slate I'm not going to introduce this topic to my kids. And by not introducing or talking about this topic, I'm allowing them to explore the world their own way. For some topics, that works, but for some others, just the way you behave around them will show them kind of the preference you have about certain things. Kids will probably do what they're most interested in anyway, but I wouldn't say that having the absence of some sort of thing or saying that you don't push something very hard is necessarily true. That your culture and the way that you live your life will speak volumes to the kid even if they don't really recognize it initially. So that's just something to think about. There are very loud people outside. Sorry if the recording can hear that. But that's it for episode 29, You're Raising Your Kids the Wrong Way. I hope to speak with you guys again soon. And that's it for this week.